When city planners sit down to design a modern traffic system, there's this, this massive foundational assumption underlying literally every single decision they make.
Right, about who they're actually designing it for.
Exactly. They're building it for human drivers. Like, we just fully expect a human driver to roll up to some confusing hand-painted detour sign, maybe notice some construction cones that have blown over in the wind, make eye contact with a road worker, and just, use their human intuition to figure out what to do.
Yeah, we just read the road. When the formal infrastructure breaks down, human beings just seamlessly patch those gaps with common sense.
Right. We process a dozen informal signals without even thinking about it. But imagine if overnight, half the cars on that road are suddenly swapped out for fully autonomous vehicles.
Oh, wow. Yeah, zero human intuition.
Zero. Just sensors scanning the environment, desperately looking for explicit standardized rules. So suddenly, those tipped over construction cones aren't just like a minor inconvenience you steer around. They are a complete system failure.
Because the car encounters a scenario it can't explicitly categorize, and it just stops.
It just stops. And, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are looking at a massive structural shift happening right now in the world of software engineering.
It's a huge shift.
It really is. And we're asking a really fascinating question. What happens when the primary user of an internal engineering platform is no longer just a human developer, but an AI agent?
It's a profound paradigm shift. And based on the documentation we're looking at today, it's happening so much faster than most enterprise organizations are prepared for.
We have a deep stack of sources today for you. We're looking at a highly technical article alongside four very detailed architectural diagrams, and these map out agent integration and internal platform design.
Which are just fascinating to dig into, by the way.
They really are. Our mission here is to decode how this new automated user is forcing engineering teams to completely rethink and rebuild how they construct internal platforms.
And spoiler alert, if you think the solution here is just adding a flashy chatbot to your developer portal, you are in for a very rude awakening.
A remarkably expensive rude awakening. Whether you are leading a technology team, writing code yourself, or you're just intensely curious about how AI is actually functioning inside massive enterprise environments, you really need to care about this.
Absolutely. It fundamentally changes the paradigm of how technical work gets done.
It really does. So, to get into the mechanics of this, we have to start by looking at how these internal platforms have historically been built. For years, they've operated on that single core assumption we just mentioned.
That the user is human.
Right. The user is a human being. Even the really well-funded platforms are still incredibly messy under the surface.
Oh, totally. Platform engineering has traditionally focused on building, well, what we call the paved road for developers.
Right. The safe path.
Exactly. The goal is to make the secure, compliant path the easiest one to take so developers can focus on writing business logic instead of, wrestling with cloud infrastructure.
But the interface to that paved road relies entirely on human comprehension. Our sources refer to it as tribal knowledge, actually.
Which is the perfect term for it, because think about how a human developer actually navigates a company's systems today.
Oh, it's a mess. They pull up an architecture standard that was documented like 3 years ago. The internal search engine ranks it as the number one result.
Right, because the search algorithm thinks it's relevant.
Yeah. But the human developer looks at it, remembers a quick conversation they had at the water cooler, and just knows that the standard is completely obsolete.
Or they know the deployment example in some random readme file will technically execute, but the security team will completely yell at them if they actually use it in production.
Exactly. Or they get one of those totally cryptic error messages, and they recognize some obscure internal acronym buried in the text that tells them, oh, I need to go onto Slack and message this one specific coworker in the London office.
Just to manually approve the database or something.
Right. Humans are just constantly serving as the manual glue for fragmented systems, but the landscape has shifted. Developers are now showing up to work with agents sitting right beside them.
Right. Tools like Claude Code or Copilot, Cursor.
Exactly. The developer is actively asking these agents to diagnose pipeline failures, modify applications, and generate infrastructure code, which means the platform now officially has two users.
The developer and the developer's agent, and that introduces a massive new design constraint into the architecture.
Because agents cannot leverage tribal knowledge. They don't have a water cooler to hang out at.
No, they can't work around that human messiness.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Oh.
Because this is exactly where the mechanics of my traffic analogy come back into play. It is exactly like moving an autonomous car into that messy construction zone.
Right.
A human driver can read a half-covered street sign, watch the flow of traffic, and figure it out. An autonomous car just crashes because it needs explicit, standardized data feeds.
What's fascinating here is how the agent actually processes information. An AI agent can't just walk over to a desk and ask a principal engineer what, you know, tier F criticality actually means for a new deployment.
Right. It doesn't even know who the principal engineer is.
Exactly. It only knows what is explicitly mathematically made available to it through its context window. It needs capabilities, context, constraints, and verification protocols.
Just math.
Yeah, if that information isn't structured and accessible directly to the agent in a machine-readable format, it simply does not exist in the agent's reality.
Which introduces us to this brilliant concept detailed in our sources. They call it the agent readiness test.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if these agents can't read the room, how on earth do organizations actually measure if their platform can support them?
And our sources provide a specific architectural diagram for this exact test. It acts as a totally new metric for enterprise success.
And the central premise is wild. It's basically, if a fully autonomous AI coding agent joined your company tomorrow, could it figure out how to deploy a standard application correctly without having to ping a human on the platform team for clarification?
And looking at the workflow in this diagram, the bar is set incredibly high.
Oh, yeah. It's not just about the agent spitting out some plausible-looking YAML code.
Right. The agent has to clear some major structural hurdles. It has to independently discover the approved path. It has to parse the internal catalog to pick the right application pattern for that specific use case.
And it has to understand which security controls apply to that pattern. Like, can it interpret a failed deployment pipeline? When it searches for context, can it actually find the authoritative documentation instead of clinging to that ancient three-year-old example we talked about?
Yeah, most importantly, it has to distinguish between what is technically possible in the cloud and what the organization actually allows and supports.
Okay, wait a second. Let me push back on this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
If the agent fails this test, right? Let's say it pulls the wrong document, hallucinates this weird hybrid architecture, and just creates a massive deployment mess.
Yeah.
Isn't that just proof of a bad AI?
That's what everyone thinks.
Right. Shouldn't the large language model just be smart enough to figure out the context?
That is the immediate assumption most leadership teams make. But the sources point to a massive aha moment regarding this test. If the agent fails, it actually reveals way more about your platform's maturity than it does about the AI's intelligence.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because if the agent is getting confused by contradictory documents, a human probably is too.
Precisely. If the correct deployment path depends on someone just knowing which wiki is outdated, human developers are already struggling.
They're just suffering in silence.
Exactly. If five different teams implement the exact same application pattern five completely different ways because the documentation is ambiguous, those human developers are paying a massive cognitive tax every single day. We just tend to ignore it because humans eventually adapt. The agents don't magically create the mess. They simply make those existing organizational inconsistencies glaringly obvious. Agent readiness is actually a diagnostic tool for measuring platform maturity.
That completely flips the dynamic. The AI is basically holding up a mirror to the engineering team and showing them the actual cost of their broken processes.
It forces the issue. You just can't hide bad architecture behind human adaptability anymore.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If failing this test means the platform itself is fundamentally broken, how do we systematically fix it? The sources are adamant that we have to shift our entire engineering mindset.
We have to stop writing for humans and start designing for machines.
Right. We have to prioritize machine-readable interfaces over human-readable prose.
It is a foundational shift in platform design. It relies on the core principle that standards are infinitely more valuable when they live natively in systems rather than, you know, in text documents.
So we have to stop relying on AI scraping three paragraphs of prose in a Confluence wiki and just crossing our fingers that it gets the context correctly.
Yeah, hoping for the best is not an architecture. We need predictable APIs. We need self-describing schemas.
Let's break down how that actually works. What does a self-describing schema look like in practice?
So a self-describing schema means that when an agent queries an API, the API doesn't just return data. It returns the exact rules for how to interact with it.
Oh, like a manual built into the response.
Exactly. It explicitly defines every field, the required data types, and the constraints, rather than leaving those rules buried in a separate human-written manual. It completely removes the guesswork.
You know, looking through these diagrams, the thing that actually caught me off guard was the section on error messages.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge part of this.
Because I always thought of error messages as just, I don't know, static output.
Yeah.
A log you look at when something breaks. But this text is arguing that error messages have to evolve into the new user interface.
It's a perfect example of this interface shift. Think about how platform teams have historically written error messages. They essentially write them for themselves.
Yeah, you trigger a deployment failure and you get something super generic, like access denied exception. Or my personal favorite, exit code 1.
Right. Exit code 1 is practically hostile.
It really is. It tells you absolutely nothing about the mechanism of the failure. You have to go dig through Slack history, open a support ticket, and waste half your day just to decode what that means in your specific context.
But if you are designing a platform for an agent, that generic error is just a dead end. The error has to be structured, programmatic, and immediately actionable.
So instead of a vague, you know, deployment rejected policy violation, the platform intercepts the failure and responds with a structured JSON object.
Right. It explicitly states deployment rejected because this service is classified as customer facing and requires multi-AZ deployment. Set availability multi-AZ in service.yaml.
It tells the agent exactly what rule is broken, why it was broken, and precisely what line of code needs to be changed to fix it.
Exactly.
And the beautiful irony I'm realizing here is that making the platform strictly readable for machines actually creates a vastly superior experience for human developers, too.
Right. Clear APIs will always beat tribal knowledge.
Yeah. The AI agent isn't creating the need for a good developer experience.
Hmm.
It is just massively increasing the visible cost of a bad one.
Deterministic automation always beats wiki instructions. When you fix the error messages for the bots, you simultaneously eliminate thousands of hours of human frustration.
This raises an important question, though. If the AI is going to trigger these structured error messages, it actually has to try building and executing something first.
Yes.
And that is where the danger lies, right?
Yeah.
Once the platform can communicate clearly and the agent understands exactly what to do, how do we safely let a machine write code and deploy infrastructure without accidentally giving it the keys to delete the entire production database?
This brings us to the mechanics of action. Communication and discovery are one thing, but execution requires strict, non-negotiable boundaries. If an AI can generate Terraform code to spin up servers, we need a rigorous way to govern that action.
And another one of our architectural diagrams maps this out brilliantly. It boils down to a very simple yet powerful equation.
Yeah.
Intent plus constraints equals approved action.
It clearly divides the responsibilities between the actor and the environment.
Let's walk through the mechanics of that equation. The developer supplies the intent. Let's say I'm the developer and I prompt my agent. I need a new TypeScript API for handling confidential customer data.
Right.
It needs to be externally accessible and it has to have 99.9% availability. The agent takes that natural language intent and translates it into technical configurations. But crucially, the platform, not the AI agent, supplies the organizational constraints.
This is the critical boundary that so many organizations just completely misunderstand.
Right.
The agent shouldn't be hallucinating or inventing what 99.9% availability technically means at your specific company.
No.
It shouldn't be guessing your security protocols, your network topologies, or your financial limits. The platform's architecture should inherently enforce those rules.
Let's ground this with an analogy. It's a bit like ordering a custom pizza. I am the customer, and my intent is to eat a really spicy meat pizza. I tell the waiter, who is our AI agent in this scenario.
Right, the waiter takes the order?
Exactly. The waiter translates that order and takes it to the kitchen. But the kitchen, which is our platform, has strict structural constraints.
Health codes, basically.
Yeah. They absolutely will not use expired meat. They will not use ingredients that violate local health codes. They control the temperature of the oven. The kitchen physically enforces the safety standards, not the waiter.
If we connect this to the bigger picture and translate that back to software, think of it like bumper bowling.
Oh, I like that.
The developer and the agent supply the intent. They throw the bowling ball down the lane with incredible speed, but the platform provides the bumper rails.
Right.
The platform uses policy engines to intercept the agent's proposed code evaluates it against the company's real-time security posture, and physically prevents the ball from going into the gutter, regardless of how wildly the agent threw it.
That makes total sense. And, you know, there is this huge temptation in the industry right now to think that AI makes internal platforms less important. I hear people say, well, if the AI can just write all the complex Kubernetes configurations from scratch, maybe we don't need a platform team to build simplified abstractions anymore.
But the sources argue the exact opposite, and for a very compelling technical reason. Generating raw infrastructure code is cheap and easy now. A large language model can spit out hundreds of technically valid ways to deploy a cloud database in like 5 seconds,
Sure.
but generating correct infrastructure that actually aligns with their company's specific threat models, regulatory compliance requirements, and cost tagging limits. That is incredibly hard, and the AI cannot do it reliably in isolation.
So the philosophy is we have to trust the gate, not the actor. We don't govern the system by trusting the AI to magically make the correct security decisions every single time. We govern it through automated gates, programmatic standards, and continuous verification inside the platform itself.
Right. The AI changes how we interface with the system, but it absolutely should not weaken the underlying architecture. Abundant generation makes constraints significantly more valuable, not less.
Wow, yeah.
When you can generate 1,000 lines of code in a second, the mechanisms that verify those 1,000 lines become the absolute most critical part of your engineering pipeline.
This friction between generation and verification leads us to the final and maybe most controversial diagram in our stack today. If context and constraints are the secret sauce to making agents work, the easiest, fastest thing for a company to do would be to just dump all of their existing wikis, Slack histories, and system architectures into a vector database, slap a chat interface on top of it, and call it a day.
Oh, the classic orgy approach.
Right. But our sources have a diagram explicitly titled, "Do not build Platform GPT."
Yeah.
Why is throwing all your data into a retrieval augmented generation or RG system such a trap here?
It comes down to the fundamental difference between a bolted-on approach and an embedded approach. And to understand why it's a trap, we really have to look at the technical limitations of how vector databases actually work in this specific context.
Okay, let's break down the bolted-on side of the diagram first. So the developer talks to a standalone chatbot. The chatbot uses Ari to retrieve text from a document, reads it, and spits out an answer. You know, like, here is how you deploy a database.
Right, but then the developer still has to take that answer, context switch to their terminal, and figure out how to actually execute it.
Yeah, it's useful for basic discovery, sure, but it feels incredibly limited.
It's limited because it is completely decoupled from the execution environment. A vector database just holds mathematical representations of text. It doesn't know if that text is actually true in the production environment right now. It might retrieve a document from last month saying a specific security group is required, but the platform team might have updated the live architecture yesterday.
So the chatbot confidently gives you outdated instructions. Now let's look at the embedded approach. How does the mechanism change here?
Well, with the embedded approach, the developer's intent goes straight into the platform's APIs, not a separate chat window. The platform itself applies dynamic context.
Okay.
Instead of just retrieving a static text document, the embedded system intercepts the API call. It checks the developer's live credentials against the real-time cloud architecture. It validates the current state of the cluster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It injects the mandatory security tags before the code is even executed. And what comes out is a correct action backed by live system verification.
The sources make a really profound statement regarding this dynamic. They say the best AI developer experience is almost invisible.
It really is.
Context isn't just a data dump into a chat window. Context, meaning the ownership of a service, the real-time freshness of the data, the exact provenance of the architecture, that has to become a first-class programmatic capability of the platform itself.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean for a business making budget decisions right now? Let me play devil's advocate for a second. Building an embedded system with live policy engines and self-describing APIs sounds incredibly difficult.
Oh, it is. It's a huge lift.
Right. So isn't a bolted-on chatbot just infinitely easier and cheaper for a company to build in Q3? Why go through all the massive organizational pain of re-architecting the entire platform?
You are absolutely right that a chatbot is easier and cheaper in the short term. You can spin one up in a weekend, basically. But the warning from these architectural diagrams is stark. AI agents are incredibly fast and they are relentlessly persistent. If a company relies on a bolted-on chatbot that hallucinates and makes the wrong, non-compliant path easier to discover than the correct, secure path, an agent is perfectly capable of confidently and rapidly taking that wrong path over and over again.
They will just automate your architectural mistakes at a massive scale.
Yes. They'll deploy 50 vulnerable databases before a human even notices there's a problem.
Wow.
Precisely. Furthermore, from a pure workflow perspective, developers shouldn't have to stop their work, navigate away to a separate chat window, and ask an external AI how an internal platform functions.
Right, that breaks the flow completely.
Exactly. The platform should explain itself natively through its interfaces. A failed deployment pipeline should return a payload explaining exactly how to fix it right there in the code editor.
Yeah.
The internal service catalog should programmatically understand the application's intent the moment it's submitted. If you just bolt on a chatbot to read your wikis, you are preserving all the ambiguity and fragility of human-centric design, just with a much faster reader.
That crystallizes it perfectly. Throwing AI at a messy, undocumented, fundamentally broken human process does not magically fix the process. It just executes the broken process a whole lot faster.
That's exactly it.
True modernization isn't about buying the shiniest AI model. It requires doing the really hard, unglamorous work of building explicit, standardized, machine-readable systems.
It is a complete evolution of the discipline of platform engineering. We spent the last 10 years building for human developers. Now we have to meticulously design for the automated agents those developers bring with them.
It really is a whole new world. And, you know, looking at all these mechanics, it brings me right back to our opening thought about the autonomous cars navigating those human-designed roads.
Right.
Right now, engineering organizations are scrambling to update their messy human-centric systems to accommodate these automated bots. We are building flawless, self-correcting structured error messages. We are writing strict policy engines. And we are developing perfectly machine-readable APIs just so the agents can function without crashing the systems.
We are systematically repaving the roads so the machines can drive on them safely.
Exactly. But it leaves me with this final lingering question for you to mull over as we wrap up today.
Okay.
As these internal platforms become perfectly optimized for machines, as the APIs become flawless, instant, and entirely explicit, returning perfect remediation steps every time something fails, will human developers eventually stop using traditional user interfaces altogether?
Mm.
Think about it. If the bot's programmatic interface is so much better, faster, and clearer than clicking through some clunky web dashboard, why would a human ever go back?
Right.
Maybe in doing the hard work of designing the perfect platform for our AI agents, we are actually designing the only interface we will ever want to use ourselves.
When the machine path becomes the path of least resistance, human behavior will inevitably follow it. That is definitely something to think about.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.